panel speaker is Nahida Ashraf. She's the convener of the Manchester Stand Up to Racism and a long-standing fighter against racism and fascism and a leading figure within Stand Up to Racism nationally. Please welcome.
Thanks for that introduction, and can I just say how great it is to be at this meeting. It's great that people have come out on such a miserable night. I don't think we can stress enough the importance of the Rotherham 12 campaign, because actually it's not just an attack on those 12 men that have been arrested, it's an attack on the whole Muslim community, because up and down this country everyone knows about that. You know, it's been in all the local Muslim press, Asian press, television, you name it. So people do know about it and people are watching it with real interest, because actually it's a message to them that if the racists come to your town and you as a Muslim person goes out and stand your ground, you will not be tolerated by the authorities. Let's be quite clear, that is a message. I also think it's a message clearly to the anti-racist movement that we will not tolerate what you do. We will divide you, because that's what they've done with this case. They've tried to divide and push back the anti-racist movement in Britain. That is what they're doing with this case. So I do think, depending on what happens next week, and we hope it's going well, because from what I can tell, it looks like, you know, there is no case. Yet again, it's the Yorkshire Police. Just, you know, it's unbelievable how badly this is going for them. But we do have to be quite aware of the stakes. This is a politically motivated case, and I think we have to be clear on that, and we have to be prepared for that defence campaign. So I just want to emphasise that. And the other thing I just want to add is actually it's not just in Rotherham that this has happened. I want this to be quite clear. When the Nazis in such as EDL have marched up and down this country over the last few years, it has happened systematically where the police have gone into the Muslim community, the Asian community, and said to them, there is going to be a counter demonstration, which is legal, which has been agreed and organised, and the police are given permission to it. However, as a Muslim community or as the Asian community living in this area, we will not tolerate you coming out. We want you to stay indoors, we want you to lock your doors, draw the curtains, because we cannot protect you on that day. And that is what happens. It happened in Manchester, it's happened in Bolton. I remember going as far as Luton for a demonstration. There was nobody from the Muslim community on this demonstration. They had been cowed by the police. I went into an area which is predominantly an Asian area where they have lots of restaurants and takeaways and local shops. It was a Saturday afternoon, the place was completely shut down. It was cut every single place. We couldn't find anywhere to go and eat. We couldn't find a taxi to get back to where the demonstration was, because this whole place has been shut down. And that's what the authorities have done. They had used the fear of possibly getting arrested to stop that community coming out and defending themselves. So I just want to get that into a bit of perspective. I'm sorry, I've sort of gone off the topic here, but it is really important that people understand that this is happening systematically. I think there is a level of institutional racism right now taking place that we need to really push back on. And I'll start where I really wanted to start with. Obviously, we all know what's happened in the US and people are feeling devastated. I mean, I kind of, running up to the elections, kind of thought, I'm not going to take it seriously, it just can't happen. But actually, it did happen. And I think the really important thing to say, though, is this does not mean that the Americans or that voted for Trump are all racist, any more than the people that voted for Brexit were racist against, you know, the rest of Europe or the rest. I think it's really clear, important for us to say that. I think the reason he has got why he has won that election is because of the despair. He's been able to play on that. We have to be very clear on that. He's used racism, fear, to win that election. But where has that come from? Why are people so fearful at the time that they are? Why are the despair in communities across the border and in the US? And I think because of the austerity. I think we have to be quite clear. At a time when austerity is on the rise, it's very easy for people that run the world, you know, whether it's a Tory government here, or actually both sides of the Brexit, let's be quite honest, both sides of that Brexit campaign use racism. They absolutely use racism, just as he did in the States. Now, we can say he was far more vicious, but actually, we've seen it in Britain as well, and I think America gives you an idea of where it could go if we're not careful. So I think, you know, this is why we're seeing the massive rise in racism. I don't think it's natural. I don't think British people or American people by nature are racist. I don't believe that for a moment. And what's really interesting, even a few years ago when UKIP were doing well in Britain, and we managed to push them back, but where they were doing well, if you went to the areas and looked at where they were doing well, it wasn't places where they had a big number of, you know, migrants in the area or anything like that. It was predominantly white areas where people were more fearful of what could happen rather than what was happening. And when you look at the polls around Brexit, most people said, well, I don't think I've been affected by migrants living in Britain. It was more about, I worry about what the rhetoric is. I worry about what they're telling me rather than my personal experiences. So that is something we need to be really aware of. And I think it's really important to say that, because after Brexit, we did see that massive rise in racist attacks, a massive increase of Islamophobia, attacks in particular against Muslim women that look like myself. We somehow became the easy target. We also saw a massive rise in attacks against migrant workers. So people are saying, well, that's proof that everybody that voted to leave were racist. Actually, I don't think that is. I think what happened is because the narrative that the Tories and everybody else led on, the mainstream press, not just the gutter press, is because they're racist. And actually what ends up happening is a small group of people in our society that have those racist ideas felt emboldened to go out and attack people. So that's why it's really important for us to be really vigilant and have a different narrative and actually push that back and say, actually, I don't buy that. I don't buy the fact that 52% of British people are racist. It's just not, I just don't buy it. Even with the rise of racism, there is something else happening. And I think we have to have those arguments with people. And I think your campaign is really important because actually, you know, in some ways you can say things look terrible. You know, you've had Brexit, you've got Trump, you've got rise in the racist attacks. But actually, wherever we have these attacks, wherever we have the rise of racism, we have resistance. And that resistance is really important. So whether it's in through the trade union movement, you know, organising migrant workers, or whether it's what we had with Stand Up to Racism on the 8th of September, we actually had over 1,600 people attend a conference in London, a whole day conference where people made, you know, their way from across the country to attend a conference to talk about what can we do. That gives me hope that this is happening. The fact that we've got meetings like this tonight gives me hope. Because actually, we are the alternative narrative. We can't count, you know, on the mainstream press. You know, there was a time when it was just a gutter press that would write this stuff, but actually right now it's acceptable. I mean, I'm sick of reading articles in the mainstream press that think it's okay to discuss how people like me dress. You know, because I can't imagine the press getting away with being able to comment about how any other woman would dress. But somehow, when you talk about a Muslim woman, it's acceptable. I'm not sure quite why, but apparently I don't have my own mind and I'm traditionally submissive and oppressed and therefore I can't speak for myself quite clearly. So the press has to do it for me and it's okay, it's acceptable. But that's what we're seeing. And I think with that going on, we do need to have an alternative voice. And we need to have meetings like this, we need to have groups like this up and down the country who are prepared if anything happens to go out and have a different narrative and push the races back. Now in this country we have actually, you know, you talked about all those groups like the EDL and what have you. I think it's really interesting that we have pushed those groups back. But I also want to say the reason we push them back is because in this country we have a history of fighting back. And we have a history of saying actually they're Nazis, they're fascists, they're racists. We will no platform these people. That is very different from what you see happening across the rest of Europe. You only have to look at France, where actually, unfortunately, you know, we have this amazing trade union movement that is very strong when it comes to workers' rights, but when it comes to fighting the racists, well, that battle's over there. And we can't do that. We can't separate off those two battles. They have to be connected, because that's how we're going to push back the racists. And I just want to just, I don't know how long I've got, but just also say, you see, I think things are going to get worse. That's why we have to get organised. We know the attacks on the Muslim communities massively increased. We've seen the attacks on migrant workers. We also have coming, unfortunately, the Brexit negotiations. So let's be quite clear. Theresa May has no qualms about saying that she will use migrant workers as a negotiating tool. Mm-hmm. She has no respect for these people's lives. Well, the rest of us see these people as our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues. She sees them as a bargaining tool. And whatever happens, she's going to open those floodgates. So we have to really ramp up our ability to get organised, to push that back. We also have, you know, we talk about the race of Islamophobia. And why is that? What is the reason why we see that massive rise in Islamophobia? And I think what it is it's government policy. To bring in legislation like Prevent, which basically says every public sector worker has to look out for and report anything they see as suspicious amongst the people they're delivering a service to. So public sector workers don't just become a service provider, you become an extension of the state, you become an extension of the police. So for instance, if you are delivering support as a social worker, you know, that's quite a sensitive role. How do you think you're going to deal with a family who thinks, well, wait a minute, you could report me? And we're seeing that. We're seeing huge numbers of young children under the age of 16 being reported under the Prevent agenda. Now, are we saying the teachers in the last, particularly in the last year, have become racist? I don't think that is the case. I think they're fearful for their jobs because they're being told you have to do this. This is your responsibility. And how do you know how somebody... Let's be quite clear. The Prevent agenda doesn't tell you to report on somebody who is radicalised at this stage or who is involved in any criminal activities or anything like that. The legislation says that you have to report something that could lead to radicalisation in the future. So we're having kids as young as six being reported for what they said in the playground while they're playing with their mates or what they wrote about, what they did on their holidays. Or, you know, I've got Muslim friends who are saying to me, oh, you know what, I'm really worried. You know, my child, he's in primary school. I'm thinking about how I'm schooling my child because I'm worried about what they're going to say in the playground. So the very thing that this government says they want to do, they want us all to live together, they want Muslim communities to feel integrated, is actually pushing us back. And it is their policies that is doing that. And I think because they've done that, what they've done is increase this idea that the Muslim community within Britain is the other. They're not your neighbours, they're not your work colleagues, they're someone you should be suspicious of. And that's why we've seen the massive raise in Islamophobia. And I just want to say, I want to congratulate Derbyshire, because actually there are many police authorities across the country that don't even report the fact that this is an Islamophobic attack. They don't recognise it. So we don't have even the true figures. And I'll say something else. Someone said to me something like 500% increase in the last year. Well, I can tell you, it's probably, if that's what it is on paper, it's probably a hell of a lot more in real life. Because actually a lot of people don't report it. Because we don't have a lot of faith in the police. You know, when we hear about what's happening with the Rotherham Club, why would you? When they come knocking on your door and saying, well, we can't protect you when the Nazis and the racists come to your town, why would you trust them to protect you at any other time? That's the crux of it. And that's why we need to be extra vigilant. And I think we need to build a massive anti-racist movement in this country. I mean, I think the conference on the 8th of October was one of the biggest conferences we've seen in decades in London, in Britain, anti-racist conferences. But I think that's just a start. I think we have to be very clear. This meeting tonight is absolutely fantastic, and I think it's great that you've already got your banner, you've already got a group out. But actually, we need to think about how much further we can push that out. You know, we want badges, or we want groups that say trade unionists against racism, social workers against racism, students against racism. It needs to filter through to every part of the working class and touch all of us so that we all feel like we own this movement and we can build it, because that's the only way we're going to push back the racism, we're going to change the narrative on the, unfortunately, the state and the media. Thank you.